the devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Darkness at the break of noon, shadows, even the silver spoon, the handmade blade, the child's balloon, eclipses both the sun and moon, to understand you know too soon, there is no sense in trying.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We welcome back a fine guest, Jay Heck, Common Cause Wisconsin. Jay, it's been far too long, man. My bad. Should have had you around sooner.
You lost my number, and I never put it in the book.
Oh, come on.
I just found it.
I found it, man. I found it. Or maybe I was booty dialing you, but anyways, I got you on the show now, Jay, and I'm so happy you came back. Thank you. Jay, I don't know if you heard, but there is some breaking news. My understanding, according to CNN's original reporting, the Department of Justice, Lisa Monaco, is now acknowledging the Department of Justice is investigating the fraudulent Trump electors. And Jay, we know right here in the state of Wisconsin, there were 10 Republican elected. Well, they're not all elected. They're, you know, county chairs and the former Republican Party chair of the state of Wisconsin. And of course, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Bob Spindell. But we got 10 Republicans that signed off on fraud, Jay. And apparently the DOJ is investigating. Did you take some encouragement from the statement of Lisa Monaco?
Well, this is really big news because this is fast movement. About a year ago, Jeff Mendel, who's an attorney here in Madison, filed a complaint with the Milwaukee County District Attorney, John Chisholm, on this very matter. And Chisholm and the Wisconsin Elections Commission and even the Department of Justice in Wisconsin, Josh Call, all sort of looked at it. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, there was some hesitation because, as you mentioned, Bob Spindell, one of the commissioners, was very resistant to being investigated about this. But this was only referred to the U.S. Department of Justice within the last week. And so the fact that they are now deciding to go ahead with this is huge. And I think, as you mentioned, it isn't isolated just with Wisconsin. As I recall, they're looking at Georgia, of course, but I think also Pennsylvania, Michigan, a number of other states. But Wisconsin is one of the key states. As you mentioned, 10 electors, including the chairman of the Republican Party, Andrew Hitt, and Bob Spindell, who, and this is significant, Spindell is scheduled to be the next chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission on July 1st. And boy, if he is involved in this, that is a serious compromise, I think, of his ability to carry out his duties. And he'll have to be replaced, I think.
You don't think he can serve from Club Fed? Jay, do you think there will be any serious consequence? I mean, this is fraud. If you or I committed fraud of this sort, let's say on a PPP loan, a paycheck protection loan, we see the federal government prosecuting all sorts of fraud in regards to monetary fraud. But what about this? I mean, if they'd assigned these documents on a bank loan, they'd be subject to federal prosecution. Jay, doesn't it seem logical that this sort of fraud that they sent over to the National Archives, I mean, they were bold and brazen with this fraud, Jay. They were thought, I mean, we've seen Spindell making public statements. They were being directed by Trump's attorneys. And he said, you know, we only did this in coordination with the Trump campaign. Well, that's a conspiracy you've confessed to, and it doesn't somehow mitigate your own illegality. Or at least that's my thoughts.
I think that's, I'm not an attorney, but I think that's the most serious aspect of it, is the conspiracy. And the fact that it was coordinated at the very highest levels, up to and including Donald Trump, but that it was a conspiracy across state lines. That's why the federal prosecutors are now involved and the attorney general. So it's a federal crime, and it is widespread. I mean, my goodness, this is bringing into it not just significant, prominent people, Republicans in Wisconsin, but all across the country. And of course, you know, it's also complicated by the fact that, what was it, 15 Republican state legislators wrote letters basically endorsing this electoral slate of false electors. and urged that on January 6th that Mike Pence select this group of fake electors. So it also could involve, you know, a coordination and cooperation of not only state legislators in Wisconsin, but now we also hear today that Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, who at that time was the Senate Majority Leader in December of 2020, made the room available in the Capitol for these fake electors to meet in December of 2020. So, boy, this is getting more interesting by the minute.
Well, he, and we got a fine guest, Jay Heck from Common Cause Wisconsin. He, though, Scott Fitzgerald, now Congressman Fitzgerald, then Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald. Well, he was the original conductor of the Trump train. I mean, he's been on the Trump train since day one. Trump, 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 Pence, Pence. You recall, you know, became quite famous for his endorsement, his sycophantic behavior towards the former president. You know, but Scott Fitzgerald, this comes as not a shock whatsoever. Scott Fitzgerald was the same sort of fascist that wanted to send the cops across state lines to chase the Wisconsin 14 to the Illinois because he was going to force that quorum and jam through Act 10. You know, Scott Fitzgerald has always used all the powers at his disposal. At least that's my opinion, Jay.
Yeah, you know, I've known Fitzgerald for years. I was in the legislature when he was first elected in 1994, and he quickly rose up through the ranks, and he has never hesitated to use all the tools at his disposal.
And what is
he famously said in 2010 that Act 10 was really not about trying to get the teachers and the teachers and public employee unions to pay more for their pensions and health costs. It was to break the power of the public employee unions and break the political power of the Democrats so that Republicans could have supreme power. And of course, he ran through the redistricting, the gerrymander of 2011. He was the guy that supervised the destruction of the campaign finance laws. And he was the architect of the voter suppression laws that went into place in 2011. So Scott Fitzgerald's fingerprints have long been all over trying to make Wisconsin a one-party autocracy.
You know what's strange? Jay, I had the opportunity to fly with Scott Fitzgerald one time. And I had a flight at Southwest to D.C., I believe, for the inauguration of Donald Trump. And, you know, with Southwest, you are not assigned a seat. You got like a boarding time frame. You're like group A, group B. Well, apparently Fitzgerald was like group Z because he was like the last guy on the plane. And this airplane was full of Republicans. Hell, this Sid Miller, this Texas commissioner, was somehow the guy sitting next to me with his big belt buckle and his selfies as him and Trump. So I'm sitting, you know, squeezed in between this commissioner and his wife on the plane to D.C. And I look down the row, and who's in the center seat? Boy, it's Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Majority Leader of the state of Wisconsin. No congressional staffer, no aides. None of the people going out to D.C. for the party would give up the middle seat for Scott Fitzgerald. Just tells you where he stands amongst his own caucus.
That's funny. I used to get my hair cut at the same place Scott Fitzgerald did. And he was, he's a nice enough guy, you know, personally.
Is he? Found him to be terribly nice.
Well, I mean, he's just kind of a regular guy. But I remember him telling me, this was in 2009, I said, my goodness, that's when the Democrats had control of the legislature and Obama was president. He just said, wait until 2010. He said, you are not going to believe what we're going to do. And it's true. I mean, what they did beginning in 2011 and have done for the last 10 years to Wisconsin has been just amazing. It's turned Wisconsin from a vibrant two-party state where, you know, elections went back and forth all the time in the legislature and in Congress to basically a one-party state, at least congressionally and in the legislature. It's because of gerrymandering, of course. We're still a two-party state when it comes to statewide elections, thank goodness. But that's all contingent on making sure that the voter suppression stuff that the current crop of Republicans are trying to ram through is held at bay, and that would include Michael Gableman. The worst Supreme Court justice in the history of Wisconsin, least respected, would certainly have been defeated if he had run again in 2018. And yet this is the guy charged with overseeing the investigation for Robin Voss.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest, Jay Hack from Comecast, Wisconsin. Been far too long. Jay, appreciate you coming back around. Gerrymandering. You mentioned gerrymandering. It's currently before the courts. And Jay, it's hard to believe, but I mean, February is like a week away. A week away. And then we've got people that want to run for legislative office or maybe statewide office in the state of Wisconsin. And we're not even close to telling them what district they might live in. And there is this notion before the courts that Republicans push forth, you know, least change. We want the least change because we already baked all the partisan gerrymandering into the cake. We don't want you changing our cake. We want this cake. Well, it's before the state Supreme Court currently. Jay, what's your reading of the tea leaves? Hell, Tony Evers, the Democratic governor's map, supposedly moves the least number of voters. Is that least change? I understand they're arguing even what that means.
Yeah, there's some conflict on the court as to what least change actually means. According to Rebecca Bradley, who's the leading conservative on the court, least change means keeping the maps exactly the way Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux want them to be kept, which is very pro-Republican. You know, look, I would have said 2 weeks ago that I had a very dim view about how all this would turn out because of the fact that Brian Hagedorn, the so-called swing conservative on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, joined the other three conservatives in this least change nonsense, and also this idea that they didn't want partisanship being a consideration when they considered the maps. But, you know, I was very, very buoyed. That's a fancy way of saying I was encouraged by what happened in Ohio about 2 weeks ago, where they also had a 4-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court. And the Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice switched sides and voted with the conservatives to strike down the gerrymandered maps that were put forward by the Republicans in the Ohio legislature. And so I just hope that Brian Hagedorn maybe looked at that and really will reassert his small C conservatism and realize that, you know, the principle of least change, it's not a constitutional or even a legal concept. It was completely made up by Rebecca Bradley to satisfy the partisans. So I'm somewhat encouraged that there may be a slightly better decision than I had hoped for. But I think Republicans are still going to come out with an advantage because in part that's the way we've sorted out in Wisconsin. That's the way people choose to live, and they do have a built-in advantage. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, Jay, the one thing they should have considered is ethnicity, voting rights. And there is a lot of question about whether these maps will hold up to federal scrutiny. Jay, let's accept that the Wisconsin Supreme Court's going to pick somebody's map, probably the Republican map. I'm less optimistic than you, perhaps, on Hagedorn. But let's assume they pick some map that does not consider the ethnic makeup of black districts in Milwaukee. Well, they're still going to have a voting rights lawsuit before the federal courts. We don't even know when the state courts are going to rule. And if you want to qualify for the ballot, you got to know what district you live in. And you got to go out and collect ballot signatures. Well, that's usually in April. So we got to go by April, and we've got two sets of lawsuits to go here, Jay. It's almost February, my friend.
Yeah, that's right. And if it is appealed, it could conceivably take a long, long time for that to be sorted out. Absolutely. So we'll see. But they do have to make a decision in early February, at least a preliminary decision. We'll see where that goes. And then we'll see where the appeals go.
Well, Jay, hopefully you can stick around for one more segment, because the last time you were here, you and I had a minor disagreement over indefinite confinement. And I found myself saying that the Democrats should consider making a concession to the Republicans, you know, show your better spirits. It is technically a loophole. And then I find out the former lieutenant governor, who is a gubernatorial candidate, Rebecca Clayfish, hell, she's with you, Jay. She's been using indefinite confinement the whole time. Come back with us, Jay Hack, my fine guest, more Devil's Advocates. We'll talk about the hypocrite Republican gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish.
It's only people's games.